In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel of today from Matthew 23, in which the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the religious leaders of Israel for their hypocrisy and for their blindness. Hypocrisy is to appear different than who really you are. These people were wicked, were unrighteous, but they appeared righteous to the people. Inside their hearts, there was evil and wickedness. What makes the problem more complicated? That they were blind. They couldn't see their hypocrisy. They couldn't see their wickedness. They believed their lie. They believed that they are righteous. Why? Because of the pride. Pride makes the person spiritually blind. Pride makes the person believe that he is righteous. He is better than others. Blindness makes the person doesn't see the wickedness in his heart. So I like to address today, what is hypocrisy? And what are some symptoms or signs of hypocrisy that the Lord mentioned in the Gospel of today? But first, I like to differentiate between hypocrisy and struggling and fighting the good fight. Because many people confuse these together. For example, if I am struggling with a certain sin, if I'm struggling with my spiritual canon, and I am struggling with prayer, I'm struggling with being committed to reading the scripture, but in the same time, I am a Sunday school servant, and I teach my children the importance of prayer, the importance of reading the scripture. If I'm struggling with sin, like sin of purity, but I'm teaching the youth how to live life of purity and holiness. Am I hypocrite or not? This is not hypocrisy. Because I'm struggling. I am aware of my sin. I'm aware of my weaknesses. I did not give in. I'm struggling. I may fall, but I rise again. I may fall, but I rise again. And I need to continue fighting the good fight till God grant me victory. This is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to live life of ungodliness. And you are not struggling against this life, but you demand people to live life of godliness. So you have two standards here. One standard I live by it, and the other standard actually I set for others and I demand them to live this standard. When we discuss the expressions of hypocrisy, we will understand more what hypocrisy is. The first expression of hypocrisy, the Lord said, "You devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers." They are not honest. Instead of taking care of the widows and the orphans, they devour their houses. And they make long prayers. And the Lord said, for pretense. What does it mean for pretense? When I make long prayers in the church, in front of the people, publicly, people will believe that I'm righteous, I'm godly. I spend 2, 3, 4 hours in prayer. And then in my home, I cannot pray for 5 minutes. Or I don't pray at all. Or I don't struggle to pray at all. But here when I come to the church, I demand long prayers, long hymns, long praises. And if they try to shorten anything, I say that's wrong. And I appear righteous as a defender of the church rituals and the church tradition. But in my house, in my own room, I don't care to pray at all. These two standards, is actually a sign of hypocrisy. For a pretense, in order to appear righteous, you make long prayers, but you don't care about praying or connecting with God. Another example is to make effort in evangelism, in going and preaching others. As the Lord said, you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. Proselyte means a convert, to convert one person to Judaism. So you travel land and sea, you go here and there, and when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. You win him maybe to the synagogue. You win him to the church. You say, I want this person. But you did not win him to God, because you make this person a disciple to you, to teach him not the law of God, but to teach him the tradition of men. You poison their mind with your wrong teaching, with your hypocrisy, with your wrong interpretation of the scripture. That's why you are not winning this person to God, but you are winning this person to yourself in order to make a group around you, praising you, commending you, and saying, yes, this is our teacher. Many times we try to impress the people, impress them with our spiritual knowledge, with our knowledge of the scripture, and we talk to them and preach to them in order actually they trust us. And after they trust us, we make parties in the church, we make divisions in the church, and we make the people follow me, not to follow Christ. This is again a sign of hypocrisy. Because here I'm not winning this person to Christ, but I'm winning this person to myself. Another expression of hypocrisy, when you interpret the scripture for your personal gain. Interpret the scripture for your personal gain. For example, the Lord said, if you swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Here you are making or you're giving gold more value than the temple itself. The temple is what sanctifies the gold, not the opposite. Or for example, you say, if you say to your parents that my help to you, I will give it to the altar, then now you don't have to honor your parents. So God said, honor your father and mother. And they teach, no, it's okay not to honor them, not to help them, not to provide for them, as long as you are going to bring this offering to the temple. Because they devour the temple and take the money of the temple. Many times we use the same technique. When we use certain verses in the scripture and we manipulate the verses or misinterpret the verses for personal gain. For example, many husbands demand and ask and question their wives about submit to your husband. You forget that the Lord told you to love your wife as Christ loved the church and died for the church. So the commandment here for the husband is more, is stronger than the commandment to the wife. For the husband, he should be willing to die for his wife, as Christ died for the church. To love her to the point of death, and to love her unconditionally, as Christ died for us while we are sinners. Don't say, if my wife is righteous, I will die for her. No. Whether she is righteous or not, whether she is submissive or not, whether she is good or not, Christ died for us while we are sinners. As the Bible teaches us. Sometimes we use this verse, submit your husband, and we ourselves, we don't do our part, which is to love to the point of death. Or parents, for example, parents or us as spiritual fathers, we demand the honor. Honor your father and mother. Honor the priesthood. And we demand the honor. But we forget that the Lord told us don't provoke yourself to anger. Sometimes we as parents provoke our children. And after we provoke them, we demand to honor us. All these kinds of misinterpretation of the verses, that's spiritual abuse, that's spiritual manipulation. When I demand obedience, for example, but me myself, I am not obedient or submissive. So how can I demand obedience from others and me myself, I did not learn to be obedient and submissive? So this is another sign of hypocrisy, when I misinterpret the scripture for personal gain. Another thing the Lord mentioned here is you pick on small things, on small commandments, but you forget the weightier matters of the law. And the Lord said here, this you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. So the Lord said, a small commandment, just it's okay to break it. The Lord did not say this. But hypocrisy, when you focus on small commandments and you neglect major commands. For example, the example that the Lord told us, in tithing, you are very, very accurate. To the extent, if you get some mint or anise or cumin, you pay the tithe. But in the same time, you are not merciful. You don't show mercy. You are not righteous. There is no justice. You are unjust to many people. How come you are focusing on this and leaving the other not done? You need to keep both. You need to keep both. Let me give you an example from our life. Maybe sometimes people come, Abuna, I came 5 minutes late. Can I take communion? Okay, that's good. You are very, very precise with yourself, circumspect with yourself, and examine yourself. But at the same time, maybe you are abandoning or not speaking to your brother or sister for years. So what bothers you that you came or arrived at the church late 5 minutes, which should bother you? But it doesn't bother you at all that you are in conflict with your family for so many years. It doesn't bother you, and you justify it yourself. That's what the Lord is speaking about. When you appear righteous, I am careful, Abuna, yesterday I drank water after midnight 15 minutes. Can I take communion? Well, you are very righteous. You are very careful. You should not actually cross the midnight. That's great. But at the same time, you living ungodly, impure life. How you allow this in your life and your conscience is not bothering you, but here to appear righteous, to appear godly, you are taking care of these small things. Again, lest anybody misunderstand me that I'm saying these small things we should not care about. No, the Lord said, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Keep this and keep that. That's why the Lord told them, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Yes, it's good to strain out an act, and you need to do it, but don't swallow a camel. Don't let major sins dwell in your heart, and it doesn't bother you. Another expression or manifestation of hypocrisy, when the Lord said, you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. From outside, you appear righteous. The Lord told them, you are like whitewashed tombs from outside, but inside, dead men's bones and uncleanness. If you go and visit cemetery, from outside, it's beautiful. Roses everywhere, beautiful place, like a garden. But inside, there is dead men's bones and uncleanness. Sometimes you are like this. I'm a servant in the church. I am very active in all the services of the church. And I am a charitable person. I go and feed the homeless. Many, many activities. From outside, I appear righteous. But from within, my heart is full of uncleanness, impurity, envy, contention, self-ambition, self-indulgence. Many, many sins dwelling in my heart. And it doesn't bother me. I don't care about repentance. I don't care about purifying my heart from inside. That's why the Lord said, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish. First cleanse the inside your heart. Clean your heart from within. Then the outside will be clean also. That's why the Lord said, first cleanse, remind me by first go and reconcile with your brother. Because when I come to the church and to partake from the Eucharist, that's righteousness. In front of all the people, I am partaking from the Eucharist every time. Every day if there is a liturgy, I partake. But at the same time, I'm not reconciled. That's why the Lord said, leave your offering on the altar. First, go reconcile. Because when you reconcile, that's cleansing from inside, cleansing the inside of the cup, and then come and partake of the communion. That's why the Lord said, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. Appear righteous to men outwardly, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Lawlessness, walking without a law. Lawlessness. There is no law in your life. You are not abiding by the law of God. You are following your own desires. You are not submissive to the law of God. And finally, the last expression, the Lord told them, you build the tombs of the prophet and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Many times, actually, we like to have the blessing of the relics of the saints and celebrate the feasts of the saints. And we make veneration and we go and visit monasteries and places that have relics of the saints. And that's beautiful. This is wonderful. But we are not living their life. The Lord, when the Jews told them, we are the children of Abraham, he told them, if you are the children of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. You cannot say you are the children of the martyrs or the children of the saints, but your life is completely far from them. Yes, it is good to venerate the saints and to get the blessing of the relics. But if you are not living their life, what is the point? Most of us, we like to read the miracles of Pope Kyrillus. All of us, we like to read the miracles of Pope Kyrillus. And this is good. But are we living the life of prayer that Pope Kyrillus lived? If we were able to get the body of Pope Kyrillus here, I am sure thousands of people will come to get the blessing of the body of Pope Kyrillus. But are we living his life? Are we living his life, life of prayer, life of humbleness, life of peace, life of gentleness, life of meekness, or not? That is the point. These practices, without having a godly life and fighting to have a godly life, is hypocrisy. And here the Lord asked a very important question at the end of rebuking the blind guides of Israel. He told them, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? How can you escape the condemnation of hell? If we don't repent, if we don't return back to God, if we are living this dual life, we are in the church, but we are in the world. We need to stop living duality. We need to have one heart, not a divided heart, one heart. Otherwise, this question, we should take it into our mind and think about it. How can you escape the condemnation of hell. That's why the Lord ended by weeping over Jerusalem. Historically, it's the city of Jerusalem and the Jews. And we know that Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed 70 AD. But Jerusalem also is the church that actually living a hypocritical life. From outside, you will find many activities in this church, many activities, but there is no spirituality. Many churches full of activities, but there is no spirituality. This is a hypocritical church. And also Jerusalem is the human soul, because each one of us is the temple of God. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit abiding in you. Those who are living life of hypocrisy, whether a person or a church, the Lord said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet and stones those who sent to her. What does it mean? You may say, I did not kill a prophet. I did not stone anybody. But sometimes I avoid Abuna if Abuna comes and rebuke me for a sin. I avoid my son, this full servant, if he tells me you're wrong. I avoid any voice God sent to me, tell me you are wrong, you need to repent. So I avoid this person as if I killed this person or I stoned this person. Stoning, not literally take a stone and throw it at him. Stoning by being aggressive, being attacking, being insulting. All these are different type of stoning. Then the Lord told them, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chick under her wings. God wants to gather all of us under his wing. Why? To protect us. To being under the wing of God, this means protection, care. But you were not willing. God is willing our salvation, but are we willing? Tomorrow, God willing, on Sunday, the gospel, this man who was paralytic for 38 years, the Lord asked him a very important question. Do you want to be made well? Are you willing to be healed? That's why the church showed this gospel today, to tell us God does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may return and live. God desires and is willing to help you to save yourself. But are you willing? Are you willing? For Jerusalem, they were not willing. And tomorrow, actually, the Lord asked the same question. Do you want? Are you willing? Do you want to be made well? And the people who did not listen to God, and their will is not in harmony with the will of God, the Lord told them something very, very severe. He told them, see, your house is left to you desolate. And we can see the temple from 70 AD until now, almost 2,000 years. They tried several times to rebuild it, but they couldn't. Because the Lord told them, your house is left to you desolate. Then, what is the solution here? What is the solution? The Lord told us, I say to you, you shall see me no more. God will not shine in your heart. God will not appear in your life till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Meaning what? When you say, it's not just by your mouth you utter, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. No. This means you accept Jesus to be your Lord, your King, your Savior, to live under his wing. When you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, means accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in my life as my King, my Lord, my Savior. My will be his will. My life will be his life. I will live under his law, not lawless, but I will live under his law. Here today, there are two ways, a way of desolation and a way of blessing. The desolation for those who choose to live hypocrisy. Blessing when actually your will will be in harmony with the will of God, and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your God, your Savior, your King, your Lord, and you say from our heart, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.